Powerful passage. I've heard it many times. Oftentimes, I've heard it in conjunction with funerals, but it's not just for funerals. It's for the living. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. What is the peace of Christ? We share the peace of Christ at the end of our worship services, just before going out on Sunday mornings. I offer the benediction, which is words of blessing in the sending forth, and then I say, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." And in the historic tradition of the church, y'all are invited to respond, "And also with you." We then raise our hands or reach out and take the hands of our neighbors and face one another and sing eagle's wings as we share Christ's peace with each other. Most of us then follow this up after the end of the singing with words, direct words of comfort, direct words of welcome, direct words of peace with each other, with our neighbors, with those who are in the sanctuary who we haven't seen for a week or longer. We go up to them, we say, "Hi, how are you doing?" We share about what's going on in our life, they share about what's going on in their life, and we have a time of conversation where we make connection anew with each other. We share Christ's peace. But what exactly is Christ's peace? Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." This is a powerful statement. One of the most powerful statements of Jesus, actually. Because in it, he gives to us not any old peace, not a peace that is hedged around with limitations and conditions like the peace that the world offers to us, but God's unconditional, never ceasing, never ending, unlimited peace. The word peace is very important in both the Christian context and in the Hebraic and Jewish context within which Jesus spoke these words. Now, the Greek word, which we're rendering as peace, is the word eirene. And eirene is most often used to translate into Greek the Hebrew word, which is what Jesus would have said, the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is among the most powerful, most meaningful, most important words in the Hebrew language. Shalom contains the concepts of the end of conflict, the end of againstness, the cessation of hostilities, the closure of disagreements. There may still be differences. There may still be points with which we don't agree with each other. But with shalom, there is no war, there is no fighting, there is no more disruption. But there is more. Shalom conveys the idea of a comprehensive well-being, health and wholeness, steadiness and happiness, joy and contentment. When uttered in greeting and in parting amongst Jews, shalom contains everything with it that we often intend when we say, "God be with you," which, by the way, "God be with you," that phrase is where the term goodbye comes from. Goodbye is a contraction of the 14th century Middle English and Early English, "God be with ye." God be with ye. When we say goodbye, what we are saying is, "God be with you." And that essence is the fundamental meaning of shalom. That God, the creator of the universe, the God, the creator of all that is, the God, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, God who fashioned us, who formed us, who created us, who raised us up, the God who made all of this, is with us. abides with us, dwells with us, travels with us, goes with us, lives with us, cries with us, laughs with us, and dies with us. And that's the essence of the Hebrew word shalom. Unlimited, unrestricted, unbounded, never-ending peace. There's a beautiful Hebraic folk song that one can hear in Israel to this day and elsewhere around the world. Shalom chaverim, shalom chaverim, shalom, shalom. Lehit hararot, lehit hararot, shalom, shalom. Farewell, my friends, farewell, my friends, shalom, shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again, shalom, shalom. Here the translation, farewell, gets the idea across. Go forth with peace and share that peace with others. Farewell. May your going be fair and good in life. In its depth, it is a concept that is found throughout Hebraic thought. And so it makes perfect sense for it to have been found in the words of Christ. Christ is offering us God's peace, God's shalom, God's end of againstness, end of conflict, the establishment of well-being and harmony. From God, with God, to God, from God, to and for and with all. This offering of shalom, this offering of peace is, dare I say, an offering of love, of agape, that Christ has repeatedly called us to share here during this season of Easter. For that's what resides beyond and behind and within and through shalom, a love that considers the needs of the other as being essential to your own needs. When we share the peace of Christ with each other, we're saying, I care about you. I value you. You are important to me. You are precious to God and therefore to me. We are saying, whatever differences we may have, whatever disagreements may exist between us, whatever may have divided us or caused us to argue, you are still God's beloved child. And so am I. And even though we may spat, and even though we may fight, and even though we may disagree, in the end, God's shalom, God's peace is there for us all. That's shalom. There is a sense in which the shalom of God in Jesus leads us to approach others as Christ approaches us with peace, with acceptance, with openness, with love. We may not agree. We may not even like each other very much, but we recognize in each other one whom God loves, one whom God cherishes, one whom God accepts, a sister or a brother or a sibling of God and of us. That's a powerful affirmation. And one that the church so sadly fails to live, even within itself. Christians so frequently talk about the peace of Christ, but we do a poor job of either living it or conveying it, even with each other, and sometimes especially with each other. And yet the church is called to be the kingdom of peace. The place where the peace of God, the peace of Christ, the shalom of Adonai Elohim reigns and rules and abides. How can we do a better job at sharing God's shalom, the peace of Christ, with all? I read an article this past week about how the nation, our nation, is suffering from a plague of pernicious polarization. I loved that alliteration. Pernicious polarization. On a scale of 0 to 5 in terms of polarization, they use a collection of objective characteristics and markers to identify where a society, where a culture, where a nation might be on that scale from 0 to 5, with 0 being the least polarized possible and 5 being the most polarized possible. And they examined it across time, and they found out that back in 2000, most of the world was somewhere around a 2.0 in terms of polarization. The United States was 2.1. Okay. In 2020, that scale, the world was 2.8. So things have gotten worse across the board, a little more polarized everywhere. But the United States, on a scale of 0 to 5, was gauged at 3.8 in terms of its polarization. And in other words, that means that groups within the nation just don't talk with each other. We don't communicate with each other. We don't speak with each other. And we consider the other, the different, the one who's not like us, as being an enemy. You can see it in our politics, where the other side, whichever side that might be, is demonized, name-called, not dealt with individually, but judged as a group. And my friends, we all do it. And this study looked at the history of how other societies that have become highly polarized, how they survived, what they did about it. And they discovered that usually, once you got above a polarization factor of about 3, there was no turning back. The various groups within the culture, within the society, within the nation, once it got above 3, while a little bit of correction could be made, for the most part, it was done for. And in 2020, the U.S. scored 3.8. And one of the sociologists that they talked with, who explained the scale and explained how they reached these conclusions, spoke pessimistically about the future, that usually it took a disaster, a great calamity, a war, a revolution, a civil war, or a pandemic, a plague, to overcome that degree of perniciousness in our polarization. And the church has been lured into this, has fed into it, willingly sometimes fed into the polarization. Hence we see denominations dividing. Southern Baptist Convention got more conservative, threw out those who weren't. Presbyterians split, conservative and progressives. Lutherans split. Lutherans from the progressive end and the conservative end, and now the United Methodist Church, again faltering into this polarization, side to side, unwilling to share shalom. Shalom chavarim. Shalom chavarim. Shalom, shalom. Lehith. Havarot, lehit havarot, shalom, shalom. Farewell, my friend, farewell, my friend. May your life fare well. May you know the shalom of Christ. This affirmation, this cry, this song, we don't see it in conferences and district and annual conferences, jurisdictional conferences and general conferences. We hear politics and backbiting and name-calling and us versus themism. And I confess my own sin in the midst of all of that. But Jesus calls us to peace. Jesus calls us to shalom. Jesus calls us to share shalom, to share peace, even with those with whom we disagree. Because that is what the commandment to love calls forth from us. Shalom, peace. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives peace, do I give it to you. It's not hedged with conditions and requirements and limitations and do this and don't do that. No, the peace of God, the peace of Christ is unlimited, unbounded, freed to God's love. May we share the peace of Christ with each other, the shalom of God with all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the people of God say,